WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Man, oh man, happy hump day. It is Wednesday, May 3rd, 2017. It already feels like the week is flying by. I really hope you're having a great work week. It is beautiful here in mid-Michigan. The sun is out, the birds are chirping, the grass is green, and we have a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there. Wondering what's on our airwaves today? Well, I'm going to tell you. Well, today's Current Sports, we will talk about Michigan State University suing the mothership, ESPN. Why, you ask? Well, you're about to find out. Hold on, we'll tell you. Also, Nick Saban, next season will be college football's highest paid coach. Let that sink in, because you guys know the name that was previously the head of that crown, right? Jim Harbaugh. That's right. We'll talk about why Nick Saban is getting such a pay bump for next season. Also, a pretty big name from the New England Patriots is rumored to possibly don a Honolulu blue jersey next season in the backfield. LeGarrette Blount to the Lions? Yeah, we'll debate that. And also on the back end of the show, it was a fantastic night of NBA playoff basketball. Isaiah Thomas, no, not the one named Zeke, who used to rock the red, white, and royal blue for the Detroit Pistons back in the day. But no, today's Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics. He completely went off in overtime in a dub over the Washington Wizards. John Wall was pretty good in that game as well. But Isaiah Thomas, I mean, for those that checked out the highlights of that game or watched it live, you guys know what I'm talking about. We'll talk about that as well. So all of that and so much more is going to be an hour filled with conversation, filled with discussion, and as customarily we do each and every hour here on at 1 p.m. here on WKAR AM 870, we open up our airwaves and allow you to chime in. If you want to be a part of today's Current Sports, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You also know that you can weigh in via social media. Just simply go to facebook.com/currentsports. You can also listen to the show there because we are live streaming the show like we usually do. And even weigh in via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR underscore sports. So as you see, so much to get to, so little time. Let's stop wasting it. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the 2017 Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame Softball Classic Field. It is one of my favorite events to cover as a reporter in here, dating back to when I was an intern back in college at Michigan State University. Again, the Softball Classic will begin May 15th at Rainey Park in Lansing. The field is set. The Fame Tournament has actually featured a first-time champ in each of the last 2 years, with Lakewood being crowned top dog last season and Holt the year prior. Here is how the schedule looks. All right, hope you got your pen and pad down. All right, not if you're driving, though. Be safe. All right, the Softball Classic schedule again, May 15th, Rainey Park, game one, Lakewood taking on Weberville, 6 p.m. The second game of that day will be Eaton Rapids taking on Lanesburg at 8. On May 16th, the following day, Grand Ledge versus Hazlitt at 6 p.m. And then you have Charlotte versus Holt at 8 p.m. And then mark your calendar for the semifinals, which will take place on May 17th, again, 6 and 8. And then May 19th is when a champion will be crowned. The championship game, first pitch set for 7 p.m. Current Sports will be in the His House for all of those games. Keep it locked for our coverage throughout that week. Michigan State University, get this, is suing the mothership, ESPN, over a public records request involving police records. Well, I should say police reports relating to ongoing sexual assault investigation. Now, MSU argues in a court filing that it has been put in an, quote, impossible position, end quote, because Ingham County prosecutor Carol Seaman's office asked the university to withhold the records and ESPN asked for them to be released. Now, the request came one day after Michigan State University announced the suspensions of three unnamed football players and a staff member associated with the team amid a sexual assault investigation. Michigan State provided some reports to ESPN, but withheld others because Seaman's office was still deciding whether to issue criminal charges in relation to some reports. We'll have more on that story in just a moment. Moving on, a study of Big Ten programs showed Michigan State ranked sixth during the 2015-16 school year in football revenue and brought in $1.2 million more in gross revenue than it did the previous school year. That is a lot of money, folks. The Spartans took in $64.7 million during their Big Ten championship and college football playoff season. That's according to PennLive.com, with figures compiled by the United States Department of Education's Equity and Athletics website. Michigan brought in the most revenue that year at $97.1 million. No wonder Michigan can take trips to Rome, right? Followed by Ohio State at $86.6 million, Penn State at $75.5 million, Wisconsin at $71.2 million, and Nebraska at $65 million. My head spins when I think about the amount of money that is involved in college football. We'll have more on that in just a moment. Speaking of highest paid and moolah and so on and so forth, all about the Benjamins, Nick Saban has passed Jim Harbaugh as college football's highest paid coach. Saban will make $11.125 million next year after the university approved a new eight-year deal, including a $4 million signing bonus. Saban's yearly salary will be $6.9 million, but will fall back behind Harbaugh after Saban's signing bonus is no longer included in 2018. So it'll be a brief period that Nick Saban is the man with the most money, right? Harbaugh is slated to make $7.5 million in 2018, the fourth year of his contract, boosted by the 10% raise scheduled after year three. It must be nice. More news concerning U of M. It is being reported that former Michigan guard Derek Walton Jr. will be competing in the NBA draft combine. Now, originally reported as an alternate for next week's NBA draft combine, apparently now he will get a chance to compete in the main group of players. A report from Yahoo Sports' Shams Charina stated that Walton will be among the players off the alternate list. Walton, Michigan's team MVP this past year, is coming off the best stretch of his career in his senior season, leading U of M in scoring last year, a little over 15 points per game, and averaged 5 assists per game, and almost 5 rebounds per game as well. Derek Walton had a great year last season. I'm curious to see where he goes in the NBA draft. All right. Also, more Michigan news. Michigan has parted ways with men's lacrosse coach John Paul and women's lacrosse coach Jennifer Uelia. The school announced that on Tuesday. The move comes as the university is making a major commitment to the programs with a new 2,000-seat lacrosse facility set to open in 2018. These moves also are the first coaching changes ordered by athletic director Ward Manuel since he took over the job last summer. Blunt to the Lions? According to Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, the Detroit Lions have joined the New York Giants in showing post-draft interest in Blunt. The Lions have a clear backfield need. We all know how pitiful that backfield was last year on the gridiron with Ameer Abdullah currently atop the odd lot of backs they've collected. But as important as that may be, the bond between the Patriots front office and Lions GM Bob Quinn, who of course used to work there. So there's an obvious connection there. Quinn does still have connections to the player personnel there. We will see, and we'll keep you posted if that deal gets done. Moving on, the Detroit Tigers already have as many wins over the Cleveland Indians in 2017 as they did all of last season. Miguel Cabrera's two-run homer in his first game back from the disabled list led a five-run, three-inning onslaught against Corey Kluber, supporting Justin Verlander for a 5-2 win Tuesday night at Comerica Park. Now, Detroit has taken four or five games in the division rivalry, including the first two games of this four-game series. Cleveland won 14 of 18 last year. Are you kidding me? And sound smart with your friends with this stat. Get this. Miggy boasts a 4-4-2, 4-7-3, an 8-4-6 slash line in 55 career plate appearances against Kluber. That marks the highest batting average against any one pitcher. Cabrera owns Corey Kluber. Right-hander Carlos Carrasco, who is 2-2 on the year with an ERA of over 2, a little over 2, 2.04, is scheduled to take one lefty, Matthew Boyd. Matt Boyd and the Tigers tonight, first pitch, 7:10 p.m. at Comerica Park. That wraps up our current sports quick hit headliners. Be a part of the show. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there if you're a bit shy and don't want to call in. I will read it live here on our airwaves. Or you can even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. So much to get to. Let's start the show.
Oubre's going to get the start, but they're going to have to guard him as a team.
Isaiah Thomas! Tremendous layup by Thomas. Rozier fires, grazes the rim. Tracked down by Horford. Isaiah Thomas! It's a three! Off the bench to score 10. Rozier, Thomas. It's a three! Isaiah Thomas loves that corner. Wall got picked. Thomas to the hoop. It's good and a foul. Thomas takes it at quarter. Thomas, he's got it. Isaiah Thomas has the ability to shield. Rozier, pivotal minutes. Thomas, he's got it. Isaiah Thomas from long range. Mismatch against Gortat. Isaiah Thomas drives in, kicks it out. Rozier, big shot. Oh, he's got it! Washington up by one. Isaiah Thomas. He's not human! Thomas with the flip. Isaiah Thomas, 46 points. The back. Beal there defensively. Crowder the screen. Isaiah Thomas to the hole! Isaiah Thomas is a machine! The screen. They switch. Thomas crosses. Foul called! And one!
And he just catches it with his hand in the cookie jar there. You see him slap across that right wrist. And the strength by Thomas to still finish.
Thomas. It goes! Caps off a remarkable night for Isaiah Thomas.
I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, y'all. I wish I was a baller.
Isaiah, where is this coming from, man? Where is this coming from?
It's my sister. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday. She would have been 23 today. So everything I do is for her, and she's watching over me, so that's all her. My family, my friends, they tell me to just keep going. My sister wouldn't want me to stop. The only thing about it is once I leave this gym, I hit reality, and she's not here. So that's the tough part. But when I'm in this arena, I can lock in, and I know everything I do is for her.
Zay, thank you for your time, and congratulations.
I wish I had my way, cause every day would be a Friday, and you can even speed on the highway. I would play ghetto games, name my kids ghetto names, Little Mookie, the Al, Lorraine. Yo, you know that's on the real.
That's a classic, isn't it? Ski-Lo. I wish every day was Friday. That would be fun, wouldn't it? But it's Wednesday, and welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Man, oh man, Isaiah Thomas is taking the NBA world by storm. It began at the very start of this NBA season, and man, oh man, what a run this young man is having in the NBA playoffs. Everyone is raving about Isaiah Thomas. That name has historical significance in the National Basketball Association because one of the greatest basketball players of all time, who actually played for the Detroit Pistons, his name was also Isaiah Thomas, nicknamed Zeke, right? Well, there's a new Isaiah Thomas in town. His nickname is IT. And boy, oh boy, is he fun to watch. Isaiah Thomas, as I watched him last night do what he did against the Washington Wizards in overtime to give the Boston Celtics a 2-0 series lead, my jaw was on the floor. I couldn't believe that this dude, who it was about, what, 5'9"? 5'9", goes off for 53 points, 18 of 33 from the field, 5 of 12 from three-point land, and it just seems like he just, you know, a switch comes on in the fourth quarter, and he just goes off, right? He just says, give me the ball, everybody else get out the way, I'm going to make something happen. It's amazing watching this young man play. And in comparison to, again, what the Washington Wizards were able to do, let's be real here. The Wizards should have won that game last night. I mean, I'm watching it, and 3 minutes to go, Washington had a 6-point lead. In total control, John Wall was playing out of his mind. And in many ways, I got to say this as well. You know, John Wall has to play so many minutes. He has to do so much. Doesn't get a ton of help. He gets help here and there, but doesn't get a ton of help. I kind of equate it to a much more dire situation out in Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. I mean, you look at Russ sometimes at the end of games, especially in the playoffs, and the dude just had no legs. Clearly tired, tugging on his shorts, and that's something I had never seen from Russ prior to this year's playoffs. Thought he was like a robot, never got tired, but it wears on you. When you play an 82-game season, playing that amount of minutes, the amount of minutes that Russell Westbrook plays. And you saw it last night with John Wall. I mean, he played 47 minutes last night. Had 40 points. 16 of 32 from the floor. But when you have a 6-point lead with 3 minutes to go in a playoff game on the road, and you know the old saying, a series really doesn't start unless the road team can win a game. Well, I really thought this series was really going to start because I thought Washington had this game in the bag. But then Thomas just took over. Washington does not know how to guard. It's like much of the league. No one really knows how to guard Isaiah Thomas. No one really figured it out this season. This dude averaged about, 30 points per game this NBA year. He's in the most valuable player conversation for sure. However, I think it's going to be between Harden and Westbrook, right? But how do you defend Isaiah Thomas? You know, you got to throw multiple guys at him, and you have to stop his penetration. The defense from Washington was porous. It wasn't great. Isaiah Thomas was able to split defenders and find the lane and go up in the hole, create contact. You got to make someone else beat you when you're playing a player like Isaiah Thomas, who baffles me because, again, he's only 5'9", but he's able to weave around defenders so easily, create contact in the paint. And you cannot keep switching on Isaiah Thomas either. How many times did we see Isaiah Thomas get matched up against Morris, right? And just abuse him left and right. And by the way, Markieff Morris was jabbing at Isaiah Thomas the entire game. And this is why I love this cat. Isaiah Thomas, he reminds me so much from the toughness standpoint. He reminds me so much of Allen Iverson. Because AI, and you kind of have to have that Napoleon complex, right? if you're a short player in the NBA and you're going against tall trees night in and night out, you have to approach it with a tough mentality like, look, yo, I know I'm good and I'm going to show you how good I am. You kind of have to approach it with kind of that arrogant mindset, because when you already step on the hardwood with a clear size advantage, you got to have an edge somewhere, right? And one of the edges, I should say, that Isaiah Thomas has against his opposition is that he's just tougher than most guys on the basketball court. I mean, this dude, first off, and to address the highlight montage you just heard, specifically the end point of that montage where Isaiah Thomas is chatting with TNT's David Aldridge after the game, and David's like, dude, I mean, not too long ago, your sister passed away. And it was actually his late sister China's birthday yesterday. And, you know, I don't know if David Aldridge knew that, but he, you know, he asked a question to Isaiah Thomas. How are you able to go out there and put on a performance like this in the playoffs in this kind of hostile environment in a very physical basketball game? And Isaiah Thomas says, it's all my sister. It's all China. It's all my family, and they've supported me throughout this. I mean, so admirable, because there will be, if you take any human being, any other human being who does not have, who isn't built, I should say, the way that Isaiah Thomas is, they wouldn't be able to perform on that kind of stage. And one of two things can happen, because we've seen a lot of athletes go through adversity, you know, where they lose a loved one and have to go out there and perform in front of millions of fans, right? One of the big performances that stand out to me was that Brett Favre game, where Brett Favre lost his father that week. And he goes out on Monday Night Football and just completely throws up ridiculous numbers, right? Sports become the outlet for the athlete. Sports become the way the athlete can release all of that pent-up emotion, sadness, and grieving. And Isaiah Thomas is doing that on the basketball court right now. And the dude lost a tooth in game one. Like, literally lost a tooth, in which I don't know why NBA players, why most of them don't wear mouth guards anyway. You know, I don't understand that anyway, but, you know, a lot of them don't. I guess it just doesn't feel right. It messes up their moxie when they're out in the court. But Isaiah Thomas didn't have a mouth guard, obviously, right? Loses a tooth, has a fake tooth in last night's game two. And there was a moment where he tried to split defenders and goes down, and his grill nails the hardwood once again. I thought the fake tooth was going to pop out. But, you know, in the post-game press conference, he even mentioned how, you know, 6 hours, he had 6 hours of just pain. And he had to go back to the dentist and try and get the swelling down. He couldn't talk. And he goes out there, puts all of that in his rearview mirror, and goes out there and puts on a performance like that. The dude has a remarkable story, and he quickly has become one of my favorite players in the league. I had no idea that, you know, looking at the journey of Isaiah Thomas, he wasn't a highly touted prospect coming out of college. He's from Washington. And, you know, coming out of Washington, you know, when he was drafted, you know, he kind of went through an up and down period, to be honest with you. He went to Curtis South Kent High School, which is in Washington. Went to Washington as a player. That's where he played collegiately from 2008 to 2011. In the 2011 draft, he was a round two 60th overall pick, selected by the lowly Sacramento Kings. And then the Kings end up shipping him to the Phoenix Suns, and then the Suns ended up shipping him to the Boston Celtics. So that's two teams in 3 years where we saw Isaiah Thomas shipped to. And, you know, it's profiled in a recent Slam Magazine article that Isaiah Thomas, during that standpoint when he was moved from the Kings to the Suns and then from the Suns to the Celtics, he was really in a dark place, in a down-and-out atmosphere, right, mentally. And what did he do? And I found this to be unbelievably cool. Isaiah Thomas The first Isaiah Thomas that bought out for the Detroit Pistons, they have been close. I didn't know this, but they have been close dating back to Isaiah Thomas's days, Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics days with Washington. Isaiah Thomas, Zeke, called Isaiah Thomas of the Celtics and said, yo, keep your head up, dude. I think this will be a great fit for you in Boston. This fan base is incredibly loyal. And he also, Isaiah Thomas, reached out to Paul Pierce, and he kind of picked Paul Pierce's brain about his time playing with the Boston Celtics. And Paul Pierce let him know, like, dude, there is no other team in the NBA that when you win, the fan base loves you more than the fans in Boston. So you saw players like Paul Pierce and Isaiah Thomas, Zeke, back for the Pistons, reach out to Isaiah Thomas, number four of the Celtics, and really give him all of this encouragement, and he came out and just bought out. I didn't know this as well. He is best friends with Jamal Crawford, another star in the NBA. Jamal Crawford is like a brother to Isaiah Thomas. And actually, when Isaiah Thomas was in college, and he didn't have any school on the weekends, and you know he didn't have any games on the weekends, and even back in high school, Isaiah Thomas would go on the weekends and visit Jamal Crawford, who had a place out in New York when he was balling with the Knicks. And he talks about how it wasn't until then that I realized how to be a professional basketball player. He would pay attention to Jamal Crawford's demeanor, how he would deal with clientele, how he would deal with the fans, how he would deal with agents, how he would deal with NBA execs. And they are so close. And Jamal Crawford was one of the guys that he leaned on as well. They're best friends. They're like brothers. He was one of the guys that he leaned on as well when trying to find his footing in the NBA. But this dude is so intriguing to me on so many levels. I think he is one of the most compelling players in the NBA, has one of the most interesting stories in the league as well. And I had to start the show because I love the underdog. Isaiah Thomas has been the underdog since he entered the league. Very cool and fun to watch, for sure. We'll dive more into the NBA playoffs later on this hour. We'll have more later on the back end of the show. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We encourage you all to call in on anything. How about the Detroit Tigers? I mean, I didn't see this start coming against the Cleveland Indians, right? A team that completely owned the Tigers last year. I mentioned how, you know, you look at last year, Cleveland won 14 of 18 games last year, and now the Tigers are off to a hot start in a four-game series at home at Comerica Park against the Cleveland Indians. Miguel Cabrera comes off the DL and does what he's able to do against Corey Kluber, a pitcher that he has completely owned in his career. What are your thoughts on that? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We actually have Jason all the way calling from Afghanistan. He's one of my dear friends. Jason, how you doing, dude?
Doing good, brother. How about yourself?
Always good hearing your voice. What's on your mind, Jason?
Well, not much, you know, just was watching our good old AFN over here last night and got to see Miggy come up to the plate there against Kluber and do what Miggy does best. You know, he goes out there, like you said in the stats earlier, Miggy is the only batter that has owned Corey Kluber since mm-hmm. Kluber came in the league.
Right.
And to see Miggy get out there after being on the DL for 10 days and comes out there and jack that two-run homer, it was the most beautiful thing in the world.
And I want to ask you, Jason, when evaluating this Detroit Tigers team, clearly this team has a lot of talent at the plate, right? We all know, you know, names like Miguel Cabrera, who I do believe, Jason, they need to, because, I mean, we've seen Miggy have health problems in the past. They really need to keep a close eye on that because you want Miggy to be healthy come playoff time if the Tigers are in that running, right? But we see what V-Mart has been able to do. You know, they have to really pay attention to that, but we see what V-Mart can do at the plate. But, you know, the problem with this team is a problem that we've constantly brought up in the last 5 years. It's that bullpen. How confident are you, from a fanatic perspective, how confident are you that this team can fix that issue and possibly make it into the playoffs this season?
Well, I think with Mr. Avila being there in the front office and him, you know, his son for the longest time, you know, back with the Tigers again this year, being one of our catchers, I think kind of between Al and his dad, between the two of them, I bet, you know, Al can put some thought into his dad's head about looking for one of those strong finishing arms out there. You know, the build up, you know, the, you know, sixth, seventh inning, if we have to use it, even into the eighth, yes, we are weak. We have shown a little promise, not too much as of right now, but you know, because the season's still young. But you know, I really think that Mr. Avila, come the deadline time there in July, I really think he will probably dump you know, a couple guys out of Toledo or something to get that arm that we can use for those, you know, seventh and eighth inning to bring it in and let the big man finish it up.
I hear you on that. And also, before we get you out of here, Jason, how is everything going over overseas out in Afghanistan, my man? And thank you for your service. For those that don't know, Jason is a part of our great military here in the U.S. of A.
Well, everything is going great over here, Al. I see the light at the end of the tunnel right now. The 9 month is coming to a close.
Wow.
So going to be back in the good old East Lansing area here sometime in the next month and a half. And, you know, but I do want to say something. I did see some pics of you from our good friend TJ and also from Justin Kane of the Battlefield Brawl last weekend.
Yes.
This is the first brawl I have had to miss because of a deployment.
Right.
And it just blows my mind how one of the founders' teams goes out there this year and Justin Kane and the bad news pairs, as they were called, but it was Team Kane this year.
Right.
Brings home the championship trophy.
Oh, it was fun being out there. I know, right? How cool was that? And again, it's such a great cause. And again, this is my third year playing it. And I was wondering whether or not you would be there this year, Jason, because, you know, the two prior years I played in it, I've always seen your face and we've always bonded while going out there and trying to play some football, I should say.
Yep.
And we've always had a great time. But yeah, Justin Kane and Todd Duckett, they do a great job holding that event every year. And
go ahead. I have a question to ask you because I know how you support us in uniform.
For sure.
Okay. Labor Day weekend, I play on this great golf tournament up at the wonderful resort of Treetops up in Gaylord, Michigan, called the Patriot Shootout.
Right.
And what we do is we raise money for the Folds of Honor Foundation, which is a foundation that was founded by Major Dan Rooney, who is a Air Force Reserve pilot. Originally born and raised in Grand Haven, Michigan. He now lives out in Oklahoma. And he founded the Folds of Honor because he was coming home from his second tour in 2007 and looked out the plane as he landed at Gerald R. Ford International Airport there in Grand Rapids. And they were asked to stay seated on the plane as they were doing an honorable transfer of a body. Well, when Major Dan walked on the plane, he saw a soldier sitting up front in uniform and thought, oh, it was cool. They were going to let this guy out. Then he thought about it. They said it was an honorable transfer. So he looked out the window, and he saw a mother and a child, a father and a mother of Corporal Brock Buckland, who was killed in action over in Iraq. And Major Dan realized right at that moment in time and point that there is no educational scholarships out there for the children and for the spouses of those that we've lost or those that were severely wounded in action.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started the Folds of Honor Foundation. And to this point in time, almost 10 years of the Folds of Honor being here, the Folds of Honor has divvied out about $13 million in educational scholarships.
Wow.
And what I want to ask you, Al, if you would be my partner, I am trying this year to get myself upwards of $1,500 raised for the Folds of Honor Foundation. But what I'd like to ask you, I know you're a golf fanatic. I've seen you out there at Hawk Hollow, Eagle Eye, and even at Forest Acre.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to know if you would be my playing partner up at Treetop this year.
I would be honored, Jason. That sounds like an unbelievable cause. And I tell you what, when you come back in town, how about we get you on the show to talk more about that foundation? I think that's something that us here at WKAR's Current Sports, we would love to have you on our airwaves to elaborate on and talk about your journey in the military. But that's a big fat yes, Jason. You know I love golf, and golfing for a great cause like that's a no-brainer to me.
All right, great. Well, hey, Al, I will definitely get a hold of you. I got your cell. I'll get a hold of you when I get home, and we'll make this happen, and we'll try and I'll try and beat some of my guys up there this year with raising money, some of my good comrades and friends. So.
Great. That sounds great. In the meantime, I'll be working on my swing, all right?
All right, brother.
Thank you so much, Jason.
You guys have a great one. Be easy, and I will see you soon.
Look at that. Jason's trying to take my tagline. I love it. Jason, thank you so much. All right, and again,
all right, thanks, brother.
You can weigh in just like Jason just did by simply calling 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I want to hit our first break. I know we're pressed for time right now. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about Michigan State University suing ESPN. Find out why. Also, Nick Saban passing Jim Harbaugh as college football's highest paid coach. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I want to push this news along to you. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to push this news along to you when it comes to the Michigan State hockey program. It looks like the coaching staff is pretty much set. This is coming from our dear pal, Jason Ruff from Impact Sports. On Wednesday morning, this morning, the university announced that former U.S. National Team Development Program coach Chris Luongo and former Ohio State assistant Joe Exter have been hired as assistant coaches for Danton Cole's staff. Now, according to a press release, both men will join current director of hockey ops Brad Fast and goaltending coach Jason Muzzotti to round out the staff. They will start their new jobs immediately. So this is a cool time for Michigan State hockey fans out there. We profiled and we were at the press conference when Danton Cole was announced as the new head coach of Michigan State hockey. Of course, Tom Anastas, he stepped down. Danton Cole now in. Danton Cole has an extensive background when it comes to the United States National Developmental Program. He has worked with some of the top talent, top young talent in hockey across this great nation. So I already believe that gave Danton Cole a tremendous recruiting advantage when you compare that kind of background to your average collegiate hockey program. And now you will announce another name that comes from the U.S. National Team Developmental Program, who was a coach in that area, Chris Luongo, and an Ohio State assistant, Joe Exter, who round out that staff for Danton Cole. Excited to see what Cole can do in that first season of the program. So I want to hear from MSU hockey fans out there. Do you like the hires of Luongo and Exter? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. While you guys are blowing up our phones, I want to transition into an interesting story. I actually got this story near the end of our show yesterday. Michigan State University is suing ESPN over a public records request involving police reports relating to ongoing sexual assault investigations. Now, the university argues in a court filing that it has been put in a, quote, impossible position, end quote, because Ingham County prosecutor Carol Seaman, her office, asked the university to withhold the records. And of course, ESPN asked for those records to be released. I want to stop right there, and I want to invite to the show right now engineer Isaac Constance. Now, Isaac, when I read just that sentence alone, when you talk about FOIA request, right, Freedom of Information Act request, because that's something that we learned, right, in journalism school here at Michigan State University. I mean, you probably learned about that probably your first or second year here at Michigan State,
of
right?
Of course.
Now, when it comes to this request, first off, you are dealing with, and this is very, very important, you are dealing with an ongoing sexual assault investigation in which, and this is something we elaborated on yesterday's Current Sports with Alex Sharg, no one has been charged yet. So legally, the names of these three unnamed football players cannot be released to the public. So it's interesting to me because when hearing that ESPN filed a public records request asking for details concerning this case, I think the obvious answer from a Michigan State standpoint is, oh, heck no. You can't have anything pertaining to this because these young men have not officially been charged. Question to you, am I missing something here?
No, not at all. And well, what I would say is that there's a historical component of this as well. MSU, of course, was sued by ESPN just a couple years back for a similar sort of request dealing with student athletes and their arrest records. Mm-hmm. And ESPN FOIA'd that. MSU refused it. There also is a reputation, just to be candid and open, within the media community that MSU can be a little bit withholding, per se, when it comes to their personal private records. MSU is not always the most amicable when it comes to FOIA requests. That is the perception that's out there. At the same time, like you said,
why does that perception exist?
I think just from several different FOIA requests that have been submitted. I know State News has several complaints about this. So has the Lansing State Journal in History. Mm-hmm. But they've had ones denied that they felt should have rightfully been passed on over to them. Now, at the same time, in this particular case, it's black and white to me that MSU has a right to defend these athletes, as does Carol Seaman's office. Because, as you said, it's up in the air right now. They have not been charged. There is no criminal prosecution of these young men just yet. And ESPN, if they were to leak these names and if they were to be wrong, imagine the backlash right there. The thing is, there's a reason, as you said on yesterday's show, that no media members have really even taken a shot at who these athletes are. Because you do not want to get it wrong. You do not want to prosecute somebody who's innocent in this sort of case. There's a reason why Mark D'Antonio did not release the names of the other athletes who were suspended. This is supposed to be vague. This is supposed to be ambiguous. And whether you like it or not, this information is not coming out via FOIA.
And we had Alex on the show, who was our first current sports engineer. And, you know, Alex came on, and Alex listens to naturally a lot of Detroit sports talk radio because naturally he lives in that area, right? And, you know, he mentioned how there are some hosts out there and some media personalities out there who criticize some of the journalists in this area. And some of the media personalities in this area who cover Michigan State sports, maybe such as myself, who knows, and accuse that base as being a bit too soft when it comes to criticizing the university for how they've handled this investigation. And if you know the names, like you said, Isaac, why not put something out there that is reckless? And as a journalist, that goes against everything that any journalist has been taught. It baffles me how people fail to realize the big picture here. In America, you are innocent until proven guilty. That's why whenever we deal with situations and stories here on Sports Talk Radio that are so sensitive in this conversation, sexual assault. It is one of the biggest conversations here in America because of how often we're seeing those stories come out, specifically when it comes to athletes, right? It is one of the most heinous things you can do and be a part of, for sure. But when it comes to our legal system, we can't go around throwing out names if we don't know for sure whether or not a young man or any man, for that matter, has participated in that kind of heinous act. And if I was to go on my airwaves and say, well, you know, I think it's blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I think it's this guy. Oh, well, you know, I would
exactly
be fired, Isaac. I would not have a job right now. You would no longer hear my voice here on WKER AM 870 94.5 FM. There is protocol, folks. I understand. Fan bases, when you hear a story like this, there are some fan bases out there, or I should say, I don't want to generalize the fan base of Michigan State University, but there are some fans out there that when they hear a story like this, they immediately, you know, start, you know, rubbing their hands together saying, who are the names? People love drama, right? That's why reality TV has been so successful here in the year 2017. People love to watch drama, and people naturally want to know what the names of these young men are. But it would be unfair to them to release those names and have their names dragged through the mud before the legal process has officially panned out. So back to this story, Isaac, when you talk about Michigan State suing ESPN, it's interesting to me because MSU did release some details to ESPN. And that's where I think the university kind of messed up, to be honest with you. I mean, mm-hmm. You're either going to do it or you're not. And You know, and that's why Carol Seaman urged the university to say, no, I'm still going through this year. I'm not officially charging anyone. Don't give them anything. Naturally, ESPN is going to be a bit upset because they want the juicy story. I mean, they want the ratings. They want the drama. I mean, come on, dude. It's ESPN, for goodness sake. But you have to act accordingly when it comes to the legal system. So, for me, I thought this was black and white. And Michigan State, you know, suing ESPN, I don't know how far that's really going
to
go.
Well, in journalism, the other thing people have to understand is it's a first-place business. The thing is, if you're first to report the news, we had Chris Delari on recently, and you heard him say, no, this was originally released by, I'm forgetting the man's name, but of the Lansing City Pulse. Mm-hmm. It is about who gets there first, that gets you the clicks, that gets you the advertising revenue. That's a big deal. If media outlets could release these names, if they knew the names, they would have. Because you want that information out there. Media members are itching just as much as every single fan base to get their hands on these names, on the information, on the details. But, as you mentioned, there's a certain protocol that has to be followed. Now, ESPN, because it's the most prominent media organization in sports, has a little bit more freedom, shall we say. Because if you remember, Adam Schefter of ESPN, NFL Insider, actually got in trouble a couple of years ago when he released a photo of the hand of Jason Pierre-Paul.
Right.
It violated certain federal statutes involving medical records and the privacy of those.
Right.
ESPN can dance around it because they've got high-up lawyers. They've got all of this. So it makes sense that they'd request it. Like you said, though, MSU, at this point, they don't owe them anything. And I think it's as simple as saying, sorry, until the investigation comes about, until charges are levied, if they are,
yep,
we cannot give you a thing.
Simple as that. Totally agree. What are your thoughts on it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, at WKAR underscore sports. Want to get to this story before we hit our final break? Alabama football coach Nick Saban, who of course used to coach football here at Michigan State University as well, on Tuesday he agreed to a 3-year contract extension through the 2024 season. A $4 million signing bonus means that Saban will earn approximately $11.15 million next year. Crazy, right? It amazes me just how much money college coaches get paid. And then you look at the bigger picture here. We certainly, you know, beat this dead horse every time we bring it up. But none of that money goes to the student athletes. I mean, it blows my mind. Yeah, their education is getting paid for. But at the same time, I mean, you look at the amount of money that's thrown around in college athletics, specifically college football. The coach, the head coach, is getting paid $11.15 million in 1 year. And how does Nick make his money? By winning. And how does he win? Well, he recruits some of the top talent, the top kids in the nation. Those kids get those dubs. Again, their coach, Nick Saban, I'm not going to diminish his coaching abilities, but still, it's the players that go out there and win the games, right? You can coach them up, but they have to go out there and execute, and they don't see a dime of that. Anyway, getting down from my soapbox there. But for you know, 1 year at least, he surpassed not only every coach in college football, but most of those in professional sports. And that also blows my mind when you think about that. He's going to pass Jim Harbaugh, who was previously, again, Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the University of Michigan college football team. He's going to pass Jim Harbaugh, and that's the local angle here. But to look at the bigger picture here, he's number one now, numero uno. The head honcho, the creme de la creme when it comes to American sports coaches. Just looking at the bigger picture here, this really blows my mind. Again, Nick Saban, $11.15 million owed to him next season. Who's number two, you ask? Isaac, if you had to guess, who is number two on this list when it comes to highest paid coaches in sports? Nick Saban becomes number one next season. Who would you say is number two?
In all of sports.
All of sports.
Let's see. Bill Belichick?
No. NBA's Greg Popovich.
Really?
San Antonio Spurs at $11 million. Number three, Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks and Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints at $8 million. So those are four coaches. well, three coaches below Nick Saban, all three don't even coach collegiate sports. They are all in the pros. You have to go at the number, what, five spot to find another college coach, and that is, if you had to guess, who would that be?
Jim Harbaugh.
Coach K, actually.
Really? Okay.
Coach K from Duke at $7.3 million. And then you go to the NHL, Mike Babcock of the Toronto Maple Leafs at $6.25 million. In the MLB, Bruce Bocce of the San Francisco Giants at $6 million. And I think you'll find this quite interesting, Isaac. At least three European soccer managers, two in England, one in Germany, will have higher salaries than Saban in 2017. I don't even know how to pronounce these names, but if you had to guess, Isaac, who would it be?
I'd guess Pep Guardiola.
You nailed it. Number one.
And then Luis Enrique?
No, it's Jose Mourinho. Did I say that right?
Oh.
I probably butchered that name.
Jose Mourinho.
Okay, thank you for that correction. Thank you.
It took me a little while.
You're like, okay, what in the world did you just say, Al? Of Manchester United, right?
Yes.
If you had to equate that to U.S. dollars, I mean, because they have them in, I don't even know what the
euros.
Currency. Yeah, in euros, exactly, right? For Pep, it's $19.39 million U.S. And then for, what is it, Jose?
Jose.
Jose, $17.84 million U.S.
And Jose, number, excuse me, yeah.
Jose. Oh, wow. So that, you can say that two different ways.
It's odd, too. He's, I believe, Portuguese, so it's a little bit different than the Spanish pronunciation.
Okay, and number three, who would you say?
Number three in soccer?
Yep.
Give me Zidane.
It's Carlo Ancelotti.
Ancelotti. That was a good one.
Bayern Munich, Germany, of course. He's going to make $11.63 million U.S. next season. So, yes, Alabama's Nick Saban is the highest paid coach in sports in 2017. How about that? Blows my mind. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports by chatting about a big name from the New England Patriots possibly coming to the Detroit Lions and Derek Walton Jr. participating in the NBA Draft Combine. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We got about 5 minutes left in today's show. If you want to call in, get a quick call in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I find this news to be quite interesting, but Detroit Lions GM Bob Quinn, he actually declined to address reports that the Detroit Lions are interested in signing free agent running back LeGarrette Blount. That interview took place, I believe, yesterday morning on 97.1 FM in Detroit. Now, you look at Blount's body of work, pretty impressive. Ran for an NFL best 18 TDs with Quinn's former team, the New England Patriots, last year. And the Lions, as we highlighted earlier this week, the Lions decided to not take a running back in last week's NFL draft, which puzzled myself along with many in the Detroit Lions fan base, especially when you consider that the Lions ranked 30th in the National Football League in rushing last season and have their top backs, Ameer Abdullah and Theo Riddick, both returning from season-ending surgery. So I thought it was pretty obvious that this team was going to take a running back. Well, that did not happen. If the Lions do indeed get a chance to acquire Blount from the Patriots, I think this would be great. I think this will help tremendously that backfield, which is so unpredictable right now when you evaluate the names there. And this is when, you know, you look at, you know, what anytime you make a hire when it comes to the general manager or president of operations for a respective team, right? One of the big edges that said person must have, in comparison to the rest of those interviewing for the job and in comparison to the person who previously held that position, is connections. You have to have certain connections and have to have a certain body of work that shows that you have pull in certain areas and in certain teams based on your journey up until that point. And Bob Quinn, seeing as though he comes from the most successful NFL franchise in, what, the last decade with the New England Patriots, this shows his pull. Now, again, he did not address the rumors that the Lions are interested in signing the free agent running back in LeGarrette Blount. But when you think about it and you put in perspective Bob Quinn's connection with the New England Patriots, I mean, you would think the Lions have more pull than the New York Giants, who are reportedly also interested in acquiring Blount. You would think that the Lions have more pull in wooing Blount to the Honolulu Blue. I like this move. We all know, I mean, this team had a lot of glaring needs when it comes to the defensive secondary, when it comes to the defensive line, the offensive line. There were a lot of needs for this Detroit Lions team. And you also brought it up, Isaac, yesterday. I mean, the Lions not choosing a running back blew my mind how they didn't go that route, right? If they get Blount, this will be a big get, I think, for this team.
Well, and you mentioned how unpredictable the backfield is currently. Part of that reason is just stability and health. Obviously, that's impaired the Lions in recent years, but the thing with Blount is he's a compliment to both Riddick and Abdullah in the backfield because he plays a totally different role of running back. Blount's not somebody who's going to break off a 40-yard rush in 3 seconds. Blount instead is somebody who's going to get you that tough 2 or 3 yards. He's going to get the goal line push. He's going to make a good block in the backfield to make sure that Matthew Stafford's protected for a little bit longer. I like Abdullah. I like Riddick. But the thing is, they need a compliment, and they need somebody like Blount so that in those short yardage situations when it comes to a pass block, whatever it might be, they do have that reliable backfield member. In my opinion, this is a seamless fit. I couldn't see anybody being really a better pickup for the Lions in that backfield besides Blount.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. I don't know when this news is going to come. I have to look up the date of the deadline for free agents, but I think it may be fastly approaching. I'm not sure, but again, and you look at the names, as I mentioned, like Amir Abdullah. I mean, these are guys who are coming off of season-ending surgeries. This could be a big get for this team. Also want to pass this news along to you before we sign off, but former NBA All-Star guard Brandon Roy was injured in a shooting over the weekend in the Los Angeles area. L.A. County Sheriff Lieutenant Joseph Williams said Wednesday that Roy was one of 4 people shot in Compton on Saturday. He said Roy and 3 other victims were attending a party when 2 men walked up and opened fire without saying a word. Prayers up to Brandon Roy, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. You have been listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Be easy, people.